Today's scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 41. It is found on page 910 in your pew Bible. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22.
Ihr Männer von Israel, hört diese Worte. Jesus von Nazareth, von Gott unter euch ausgewiesen durch Taten, Wunder und Zeichen, die Gott durch ihn in eurer Mitte getan hat, wie ihr selbst wisst. Diesen Mann, der durch Gottes Ratschluss und Vorsehung dahingegeben war, habt ihr durch die Hand der Heiden ans Kreuz geschlagen und umgebracht. Den hat Gott auferweckt und hat aufgelöst die Schmerzen des Todes, wie es denn unmöglich war, dass er vom Tode festgehalten werden konnte.
I'm going to be reading in Spanish, and this is in Acts 2:25 through 28. Porque David dice de él, veía siempre al Señor en mi presencia, pues está a mi diestra para que yo no sea sacudido. Por lo cual mi corazón se alegró y mi lengua se regocijó, y aún hasta mi carne descansará en esperanza, pues tú no abandonarás mi alma en el Hades, ni permitirás que tu santo vea corrupción. Me has hecho conocer los caminos de la vida, me llenarás de gozo con tu presencia.
Enuanom, moma mi kwaina minka e Japan David ho asem pefe nchermo. Se wewu na we sie no. Na nenda wo yenchen ha de besi inne. Na se oye odifo na onim se onyankopon de intam ka kire no se na asene mu aba mu bi na obetna na ahengwa so. Inti ohun yesie na oka Kristo osore ho asem se mu enya no asamado nenso ne honam enho ne kore.
Je Yesu, shen yi jing shi ta fu huo le. Wo men dou shi zhe shi de jian zheng ren. Ta bi, ta ji bei gao ju zai shen de you bian, you cong fu shou le suo ying xu de sheng ling. 就把你们所看见、所听见的浇灌下来。
大卫并没有升到天上，对自己说：主对我主说，你坐在我的右边，等我使你的仇敌作你的脚凳。故此，以色列全家当确实的知道，你们钉在十字架上的这位耶稣，神已经立他为主、为基督了。
Après avoir entendu ce discours, ils eurent le cœur vivement touché. Et ils dirent à Pierre et aux autres apôtres, « Hommes, frères, que ferons-nous ? » Pierre leur dit, « Repentez-vous, et que chacun de vous soit baptisé au nom de Jésus-Christ, pour le pardon de vos péchés, et vous recevrez le don du Saint-Esprit. »
כי לכם ההבטחה ולבניכם ולכל הרחוקים לכל אשר יקרא יהוה אלוהינו הינו להם. ויעד עוד בהם בדברים אחרים הרבה ויזהירם לומר המליטו נא מן הדור העיקש הזה.
So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So you can keep your Bibles open to Acts 2. As we look into God's Word this morning. I've said this before when I've had occasion to preach on the ascension of Jesus Christ, is that in growing up in my home, we talked a lot about the birth of Christ, the incarnation of Christ. We talked a lot about the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. But the ascension of Jesus Christ, which we believed, we didn't talk about much, and certainly we didn't talk that much about Pentecost. A little, for sure. But it wasn't given much emphasis. And the reality is, in a very, I think, important way, it is important for us, yes, to emphasize the birth and incarnation of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but we also need to believe and understand what it means that we have an ascended Christ, an ascended Christ who's at the right hand of the Father, who pours out his Spirit on us. And so I want us to see that this morning from this text. And of course, Acts 2 connects us to baptism. And in just a few minutes, we are going to baptize two candidates this morning. And another four at the 11:30 service this morning. And I want to encourage several different groups of people. You might be here and just encourage you that as we work through Acts 2 some and as we witness these baptisms, I want all of us to be impacted by these. First, if there's any person here who has trusted Christ as your Savior and you've also obeyed the Lord in baptism, I hope that the baptisms you witness this morning will remind you of your own baptism. Will remind you of how you, through water baptism, were identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. To remind yourself that your salvation was accomplished by God Himself, and your baptism was a picture of that. And I pray that it would encourage you as you remember your own baptism. I also want to encourage, there may be some of you here this morning, and you haven't yet put your faith and confidence in Christ alone. Maybe you're considering Christ. Maybe you've got lots of questions. That's great. We're glad you're here. But if you're here this morning trying to earn your way with God, or you're trying to be good enough so God accepts you, I hope that when you hear the testimonies of the baptismal candidates, as you watch their baptism, you will understand that the only way anyone gets right with God is through what Christ has done. And baptism is simply a picture of what God does to bring us to Himself through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if that's where you are this morning, we'd love for you to let us know, because we would love to connect with you. We've got a couple of investigative Bible studies that might be helpful to you, designed for people who are asking questions and considering Christ. But there might be a third group of people here this morning, people who've put their faith and confidence in Christ alone, but as of yet have never been baptized. And maybe this morning when you see our two baptismal candidates at 9 here are baptized, when you realize that the baptism is a command, and while baptism doesn't make you right with God, it is a command that people who have been transformed by the grace of Christ would publicly declare their faith through baptism. And so you may be here this morning like that, and we'd love to talk to you and guide you through that process of trying to prepare yourself for obeying the Lord in baptism. So what we need to see in Acts 2 is we need to see how God is working in three diverse ways in this text. And then we want to look at the response we should have because of these different workings of God that we see in the text. The first thing I want us to see about the workings of God is that the ascension of Jesus means that Jesus is sovereign over the world. Take a look at verse 33. As Peter's preaching this sermon before all of the crowds there, he says, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. We see this also in verse 36, where he says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, speaking of Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. There is a reason that it's not required of any follower of Jesus to go back to Jerusalem once a year and go back to the tomb or go back to the burial site of Jesus. And the reason we're not called to do that, he's not there. Jesus Christ not only died, but he was raised to life, but then he ascended. And he is now at the right hand of the Father, where he is exercising all rule and authority over the world. He is working as seated at the right hand of the Father. He is working to bring the rule and reign of God over the earth, even today. He's alive. He's working. He's powerful. And what we realize when we understand that, yes, Jesus was born as a baby and he grew up and he died and was buried and rose again, he right now is at the right hand of the Father. We worship a living Savior who has all authority, all power to accomplish God's will over the universe. And that's part of the main theme of Peter's preaching here, is pointing out that the Jesus who was the Christ, who was the Messiah, is not only the risen Christ, but he is Lord. He is the ascended Christ with all power and authority. There's a second thing that that we learn from this text, is that the ascension means that God has poured his Spirit out on all peoples. What is happening in Jerusalem is that people are hearing this message in their own heart language. We had a little facsimile of that during our scripture reading. We have all kinds of Stonehill folks reading in the language that they learned to speak as a child, reading the Word of God in their heart language. And that's what the Spirit of God is doing in this pouring out of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Look back at verse 5 just to get the context of that. Verse 5 of chapter 2 in Acts. He says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. What happens on Pentecost is a fulfillment of a prophecy that God had given the people of Israel. The prophet Joel talked about how this would happen in the latter days, in the last days. And it's also obviously a tangible fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant given to Abraham and to his seed that was the beginning of the formation of the nation Israel. But in the promise to Abraham, God told Abraham very clearly is that through you, Abraham, all families of the earth would be blessed. Clearly describing what would happen through Jesus, seed of Abraham, but giving us a preview that God's plan has always been in terms of redeeming the world was not simply to work with Israel, but the plan was always way beyond that. To bring all peoples, all families of the earth, all language groups, all tribes and people groups, bringing them under the reign and lordship of Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And in a real sense, Stone Hill has been for quite some time a visible expression of the Spirit's work on Pentecost in bringing us together in Christ from all over the world. The number of language groups spoken simply in this local assembly is a picture of God's plan to bring all peoples of the earth in contact with the message of the gospel and bringing all to the Lord. And it prefigures what one day will happen when we will all be around the Lamb, people from every nation, people group, tribe, people from all over the world together, unified around who? Jesus Christ, the one who died, the one who was buried, the one who was raised, the one who is at the right hand of the Father, and the one who is coming back again. So the ascension means that God has poured out his Holy Spirit on all peoples. And I want you to see a third issue here, and this is the response to Jesus, the gospel, and his sovereignty. Peter preaches this very direct sermon to these people who lived in Jerusalem. He's essentially telling many of the crowd that you all crucified Jesus. Instead of worshiping Jesus, you crucified him. But Peter's quick to say, yes, you did that, but it was all part of God's plan. He then uses the Old Testament in a number of ways to show that this Jesus is the Lord and the Christ, the Messiah, the one who has come to save not only Israel, but to save all people through him and what he has done. And notice the response of the crowd in verse 37. He says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And we read in verse 41 that 3,000 people were added to the Church of Jesus Christ, were added to the number who had put their faith and confidence in this Jesus Christ, who was born, who died, was buried, who rose again, who's at the right hand of the Father. And many of those individuals were there when Jesus was crucified, and now they have seen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the reality of who Jesus is, and they put their faith and confidence in him alone, and then they are baptized. Peter calls on everyone to trust Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins. That's how you get right with God. That's what the Spirit has to do, to open your heart up so you see your sin and you see the Savior. And then he draws you to himself. But part of following Christ, after you've received this incredible gift of forgiveness and you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, is to obey the Lord in water baptism. To publicly go on record through baptism and saying, this is what God has done for me, and I'm willing to let the world know that I'm baptized. Now, I have to tell you, as a young boy, baptisms were sometimes traumatic for me. My dad was a pastor, and we didn't have a baptistry in our church. We were renting a facility, and so my dad did this baptism in a lake near the rented property. So I was nervous for a couple of reasons. Number one, I wasn't sure it was legal for us to be using this lake. It wasn't our lake. But I also was worried, because this was in Miami, Florida, about the kinds of animals that might be in this lake that were going to hurt my father. And so I watch these baptisms with fear and trepidation. I was actually glad that I had been baptized before in a much more sanitary way in a church baptistry. But I just was on the edge of my seat saying, oh, I hope there's no water moccasins in there, you know. And one time I saw a snake go into the water as we were walking out to the lake. And I was like, can't we do this in a different way? Is baptism really this important? So I didn't enjoy a lot of baptisms during those years. And I'm just going to make sure. I think it's okay. But it's interesting, in baptism, we are asking our baptismal candidates three important questions that get to the heart of what baptism is about. The first question will run something like this: do you confess Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior? Baptism is not what makes you right with God. Trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation does. And the question that each of the candidates have to answer is, are you putting your faith in Christ alone? In other words, you're trusting Him and what He did for you on your behalf. The second question we will ask is, do you commit yourself to Christ's body, the church? It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a passage that talks about how the Spirit places all of us who put our faith and confidence in Christ alone, places us into the body of Christ. And water baptism is simply a picture of what God has already done by putting people into the body of Christ when they put their faith and confidence in Christ alone. And baptism is a way to acknowledge that, I am now part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and this particular church is where I am at now. And so part of water baptism is demonstrating a commitment to what Christ, the Spirit of God, has already done by placing each of us who know Christ as our Savior into His body. There's a third question. It runs something like this: do you promise to live a life of faith and obedience in the risen Lord Jesus Christ? There's a passage in Romans 6 that talks about when we come to and put our faith and confidence in Christ, we are identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We spiritually become identified with what Jesus did. Jesus died for sins once for all. Through the power of His resurrection, we now have the power to live a new life. And when someone is baptized, they're telling us, yes, I've put my faith and confidence in Christ alone, and I realize that God's purpose for me now is to become more like Jesus Christ. So they're telling us, this is my commitment, and saying it publicly. Now, I think sometimes, because we live in a place where there's, just compared to the rest of the world, massive amounts of freedom, religious freedom, to worship as we see fit. But if you've ever lived in a country where following Jesus Christ has some risk in terms of social pressure, massive risk, or has pressure even from the government, believers in Jesus Christ will tell you, if I trust Jesus Christ and I keep that kind of quiet, I probably will be okay. But the minute I get baptized, the minute they find out that I've been baptized and I've trusted Christ as my Savior, the minute I go public with that, that's when it gets problematic. I don't think we sense that so much here in where we live, but for our two candidates who are about to be baptized, while it's not particularly risky in some sense, by going on record and saying, this is what God has done for me by the Spirit through Jesus Christ, and publicly identifying themselves as followers of Jesus Christ, they've now gone on record to say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, even in a world that often puts pressure on us to divert our attention, to cut corners in obedience, to succumb to the different temptations that the world, the flesh, the evil one would put before us. And so the step that Caleb and Fiona are taking this morning is significant. And we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, who witness this, are now even more responsible in my mind to encourage them, to pray for them, to surround them, and to walk with them as they've now gone on record to follow Jesus Christ publicly through water baptism. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, you are the ascended Christ. You have all power and authority. You've also poured out your Holy Spirit, bringing people from every possible people group on the planet to yourself. And one day we will be with you around the throne of the Lamb, worshiping you together. And Lord, you've asked the followers of Jesus Christ who received your grace by faith alone to also be baptized, to publicly identify and proclaim that what the Spirit of God has done in their life, taking away their sin, providing forgiveness of sins, empowering them to live a new life, they are acknowledging that publicly before us. And may we as God's people encourage them, strengthen them, walk with them, allow them to use their gifts here and for us to speak into their lives as they attempt to follow their Savior in every aspect of their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.